Years ago, a columnist wrote about his research in visiting 190 churches. He wanted to see how friendly church-going people were. And out of the 190, the vast majority of them, he walked in and no one said anything to him. He slipped in at the beginning, and then at the end, he lingered around and everybody left, and he left. In one or two places, people said something to him. One place, it was the usher asking him to move his legs so somebody could get into the aisle. His result of his research was that churches generally are not friendly. That's contrasted with an experience my wife and I had when we were married many years ago. We went on a honeymoon into eastern New York, and as we were traveling along, it was a Sunday, we decided we wanted to have fellowship with Christians in a local church. So we looked up in the Yellow Pages, we found a place that seemed to have a good name, and it was probably a Bible-preaching church. So we went and visited them. They were meeting in a Grange Hall. There was about 30 of them. And we felt we were going to be very conspicuous, being a young couple and obviously in love. From the word go, the folks there were friendly to us. They made us feel like they were part of their group. As a matter of fact, when the service was over and we were chatting with a young couple, they invited us to their home and for a day of water skiing on their lake at their cottage. What a contrast in experiences. This church, the people there, reminded me of that man Abraham in the scripture. Abraham, the man of faith, he was a man of hospitality. Do you remember the story where he's actually entertaining and hosting angels that had come to him prior to their destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? I think of also examples of hospitality and opening people's homes. I think of the Shunammite woman who, on a regular basis, prepared a room for Elisha to come and visit her. Who cannot think of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who frequently hosted none other than the Lord Jesus Christ? Their home was very hospitable, and it was open, and it was a frequent place for Jesus to go and to rest and to relax. A personal favorite of mine is in Luke chapter 24, where two disciples were on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion of Christ. Their hearts were broken, they were dejected and discouraged, their hopes and dreams were shattered at the death of the one that they had given their lives to follow. And here they find themselves encountering a stranger, and they invited the stranger to have a meal with them. The warmth of their fellowship turned into a burning in their heart after they realized that this stranger was really no stranger to them at all, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ, who they didn't recognize at the first. These weary, downcast hosts suddenly became energetic servants of Christ, and it was directly related to their having hospitable hearts. Now, these stories I'm sharing with you are not just simply to tell you chicken soup for the soul kind of stories. They're examples of ministry that I believe is essential to being an effective elder. Paul, in his letter to Timothy and to Titus, in both of them, he outlines a number of qualifications, and one in particular stands out in both of them, and that is they are to be hospitable. An elder is to be hospitable. For example, in 1 Timothy 3:2, Paul writes, "An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach." Well, it really shouldn't surprise us that elders should be hospitable, because the scripture says that all Christians should be like this. As a matter of fact, the word for hospitality or hospitable is used 6 times in the New Testament. 3 of those times it's directed to all Christians. And I find myself not only recognizing that elders, as being among all Christians, are not exempt, but what is it about elders and hospitality that the apostle specifically mentions this? Well, I think if we look at the true nature of hospitality, we will discover how important this is for Christian community, and therefore how important it is for elders to model this ministry for others. Let's first of all look at the subject of hospitality. As I mentioned, it occurs six times in Scripture. It comes from the Greek word, which is philoxenios. And that's actually a compound word, which the first part, philos, is our word for brotherly love or compassionate love. Xenos is the Greek word for strangers. And so you put those two together, and hospitality has to do with loving in a brotherly way, loving people that are not your close friends, but might even be strangers. The New Testament, as the word is used in the New Testament times, it was commonly used to refer to inviting people in for a meal or for lodging. But at its heart, it's not about bringing your friends over for a game of cards or a water skiing necessarily. It's opening your home to those who are outside your normal circle of friendships or relationships. It's inviting them to share your world, to share your life, and to help them on their way in their Christian walk. In Spanish language, in culture, there's a phrase that's used. It's called mi casa, su casa, which is my house is your house. I think that captures very well the idea of hospitality. In the biblical days, it was certainly a practical thing. Traveling was a difficult thing to do, and it was not always a safe thing. Inns were often dangerous places, and so receiving travelers and helping them on their way was a very practical demonstration of Christian love and hospitality. But I want us to consider a little more than just the practical aspect. And then I see, for example, in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, we discover Paul is appealing to Christians to be committed to the hilt. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And he keeps the thought going down to verse 13, where he explains and gives examples of what he means by a sacrificial, committed life. He says, "Contributing to the needs of saints, practicing hospitality." Peter himself stresses to the readers who are going through the trials of life, he says hospitality is important and is a priority even when you yourself are going through struggles. He says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint." The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 talks about the Christians of faith, the people of God who've been faithful, and there's a litany of people that are given to us as models, as examples of par excellence lives of faith. And in the very next verses in chapter 13, in verse 1 and 2, after talking about these heroes of faith, he says to his readers, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing this some have entertained angels without knowing it." So the readers who are being tempted to turn back to their old ways of the law are in the midst of all that encouraged to show hospitality to one another. So I believe hospitality is an important ministry for elders to model for others. And as we discover in Hebrews 13, there could be the side benefit even of ending up showing hospitality to spiritual angels sent from God. So elders are commanded. We looked at 1 Timothy. I want to read for you Titus, where Paul says it again. He says, "For the overseer must be above reproach, hospitable, loving what is good and sensible, just, devout, and self-controlled." Hospitality is an opportunity for elders to demonstrate real, practical love to the congregation. They model for the congregation and for other Christians what love should look like in reality, in practical ways. Elders are spiritual leaders. Through hospitality, they make their lives an open book. They invite people into our lives, into our homes. They can see how we live. They can see how we interact with our family and our children. Now, certainly, there's a whole other area of ministry we could talk about, visitation, where we go out to where people are at. We may meet them for a coffee or at their workplace or in their homes. But when we invite people into our homes, into our lives, they get a chance to see us in a more of a relaxing sort of way. It's different than talking with somebody after the meetings at a church. It's different than making an appointment and going somewhere. It's inviting people to come and enjoy some food and some fellowship in an unrushed and a relaxed sort of way. In a sense, it's really trying to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And we're, through hospitality, we want to get to know our sheep, our people, the people in the congregation that God has given us the responsibility to shepherd. Now let me just share with you a couple practical things. For some people, hospitality comes a little more natural than others. For some, it strikes fear in their hearts. I know some people feel that they could never get their house in good enough shape or do enough to really make a good showing. Hospitality is not about showing off what you have. It's not about really even entertaining in that sense. But I would suggest that, first of all, you do it as a joint ministry with your spouse. I know with my wife, if we were going to do hospitality based on my culinary abilities, we would never get anybody to come back a second time. I am not a good cook. I enjoy eating. My role is, as I've told my wife, if we have people over, I will do all the cleanup. After everybody's gone, you just relax, you go do something else, I'll clean up, but you cook, and she more than willing does that. She loves to do that. And so we've kind of worked this together. I would suggest too, what we do is we plan and we pray. Like all ministries, you need to be intentional. Having your spouse committed to you, we sit down and we talk about who in our congregation we would like to have in our home. We'll sometimes make a list that's 2 months out, and we'll write down people and we'll try to match them together. We'll pair them, you know, a new couple with an older couple, visitors with somebody who's been there for a while. Sometimes what we've done is we've divided up our congregation among the elders. One time we had 6 elders in our church, and there was about 150 family units. And so we divided that up, and so each elder would be responsible for reaching out and, where possible, inviting their couples into their homes. I mentioned mix and matching, but let me also say, you know, keep it simple. Keep it simple. When my wife and I were first married, our hospitality was getting out the fine china and the silver, just like her mother and grandmother did. And after a few times, it became exhausting, and we weren't wanting to do it very often. When we switched to simpler presentation, simpler meals, it was much easier. And particularly, it became easier when I began to volunteer to help with the cleanup. Be sure when you invite people, of course, to ask about food allergies. One time we had a dear friend of ours, an older lady who is a vegetarian. And when we invited her over, we made sure that we had food that was adequate for her. Set priorities. Again, don't just focus on people you're comfortable with. This is an opportunity for elders to model stepping out of the comfort zone. Invite newcomers. Invite hard-to-get-along people. Inviting down and outers, those that are lonely, and don't forget single people who seems to often be overlooked. Now, one last thing, and that is being able to encourage spiritual conversation. Now, you don't want to force it, but you do want to give opportunity. And I found there's 3 questions that are very helpful, that are very generic, give people an opportunity. The first question, at some point, you know, in our time together, I'll say towards the end, before they leave, let me ask you, could you share, how has your spiritual walk been doing? Another question is how can I pray for you? A third question is do you have any questions for the elders or anything that you feel we need to be aware of? I found these are great segues into spiritual conversation. But of course, if that doesn't happen, that's okay, because your real goal is to make people have a sense that you do care for them and you love them. So in conclusion, hospitality is something that costs very little money and time. Don't let pickiness or perfectionism or lavishness prevent you from doing it. The effort is relatively little compared to the huge benefits of people feeling like you've shared your life with them. you may find the result is others may catch the enthusiasm of practicing hospitality, and it might turn out that in the end, you will have discovered that you have been entertaining angels from God. So let me encourage you, if you're an elder or a potential elder, make hospitality a priority in your life and ministry.